Okay, great. Well, we're back on air with Peter Knight, Sergeant at Waiheke Police Station. Hi, welcome on the show.
Hello, good morning.
Look, it's great to have you because it's just really nice to touch base with the cops here. So great, yeah.
Yep.
So one of the things... Oops, what's that? Don't know what that was. Okay, sorry about that. I don't know if the listeners heard that, but some sort of feedback loop. I think it's gone now. Okay, so one of the things is there's been some stuff up on Facebook recently about lots of people getting their houses broken into, cars broken into. I got my iPhone pinched, so of course I feel very personally about that. And I was just wondering, is there a bit of a spike in crime at the moment or not particularly? It's always like that.
Overall, crime's gone down. Compared to the last 3 years, we're down around about 15 to 16% in most areas, except just recently, burglaries. And we have had an increase of those. In the last 2 months, we've sort of had 10, which doesn't sound a lot, but for Waiheke, that is quite a few. When we only have, as I say, we have around about 60 to 70 a year. But most of those burglaries are committed by individuals, and the last 10 were done by basically one person and a couple of mates. So that was a 16-year-old, and we've managed to pretty much solve those last 10. Just in the last week or two, we've had another one where a laptop was taken, and we've got a fair idea on who that is, but once again, knowing and proving it's two different things. So, yeah, there is at the moment.
But and see, so what happens to this, you know, if it's a 16-year-old, is it stash that they're storing, or is there some sort of pathway by which it's being taken somewhere else and sold, or what's happening?
Basically, he had a cannabis problem and was trading the stolen property for cannabis, which is a bit sad too, because it was to a local on the island that he was trading it with, an older lady, and she's been dealt with now through the courts as well for receiving. So, yeah, people sort of talk about drugs and that. Early this year and the end of last year, we had a spate of laptops. We had about 7 or 8 and 7 different burglaries, and that come down to 2 people that were addicted to methamphetamine. So most of the burglaries that are occurring on the island are in groups and basically individuals. So you take those people out of the equation and to have a burglary, you're probably a little bit unlucky, I guess.
Okay, right. So it's not that, because the other thing that some people were wondering was whether there were sort of groups coming over from Auckland, and it kind of had this myth of wealthy, you know, wealthy people living here, closed houses, people, you know, not locking their doors, and that maybe that we were being targeted for crime.
No. Most crime is opportunist, and cars are left out at night where they might have CDs sitting on their seat, or phones or computers or whatever that's in view. That becomes an easy target. And I do know on the island that people have got a bit of an attitude in regards to not locking their doors and locking their cars and things like that.
You've got a little smile playing on your lips there. What do you make of that?
I think it's sort of going back 20 years where you could walk out of your house and leave it unlocked and feel safe, you know, that you'd come back and no one had been there. As I say, with the number of houses on the island and the number of burglaries that we have, it's very minimal. You know, I really do consider Waiheke to be quite a safe place. And if you do get hit by a crime, you are unlucky. As I say, we don't have people coming over to the island. Most of the people that are doing crime on the island have a connection somewhere. And I say these last two, the 16-year-old boys living on the island, the two that were earlier in the year, they were also living on the island. So
that's pretty depressing, isn't it, that you've got a drug problem that's forcing you into stealing.
It is.
At the age of 16. I mean, come on.
Well, that's right.
Really bad.
Yeah. The earlier you get into these things and get involved in this sort of activity and then it becomes an addiction. It's like a lot of burglaries that we have, alcohol is taken too. And there is, I believe, a higher percentage of people with alcohol addictions on the island, and quite often holiday homes that are broken into will only have, say, a bottle of wine or a couple of bottles of wine taken. None of the electronic stuff will go. It's very rare if like a 32-inch or 42-inch plasma or LCD TV, whatever it is, I can't even think that we've had one of those stolen.
Mm.
We're in the city. Every day, something like that would go missing. Mm. And so, yeah.
So what can you do if you suspect that someone you know has got a, you know, a problem, you know, and I think gambling falls into this as well, but has got a problem that may be leading them into a situation where they're committing some sort of crime? Is there somewhere that people can sort of go to try and get help to, you know, prevent that in a way, or does the person actually need to just come to the party, possibly get busted, for anything to really change?
Yeah, for anything to change, people have got to want to change, and it's getting them to that point where they decide that, you know, enough is enough, and sometimes putting them in court and getting court directed support and counselling and things like that assists. But it's really up to the individual and the environment that they live in. You know, if they're hanging around with a group of mates that are getting drunk and say doing some damage, they're all associated to do that, and they're all doing it together because they think that because everybody's doing it, it's right.
Mm.
But you slowly break those people up and get them by themselves and put them into another group that's not doing that sort of behaviour. That's a way of changing their behaviour.
Mm. And are these kids in school, or do they tend to be out of school?
The 16-year-old, he was out of school.
Mm.
So yeah, he is able to wander around the, you know, during the daytime. Most burglaries happen in the daytime. Where people think they sort of happen at night. The statistics show that they're probably near the end of the day, but that's because people come home and find at the end of the day that their house has been broken into or their car's been broken into and report it then. But it could have been 6-7 hours earlier on, or it could have been just after they left.
Mm.
And on Waiheke, I had a look at the seasonal times, and most of the burglaries or crimes reported around about September, October, which sort of indicates to me that might be a few holiday people coming over to their batches. Their house may have been entered and their bottle of wine taken, you know, a month ago, but because they come and find it, that's the time that they report it.
Right, I see. Okay, yeah. Mm. And so if you catch someone who's, you know, in that situation where they've been, you know, what happens to them if they're underage and they've been caught stealing things, and what's the typical thing that sort of, what's the typical process or...?
Pretty much, regardless of their age, they've still got to be held accountable for what they've done. If they're under 17, they go through the youth process. Like the 16-year-old, he's been arrested. He was remanded in custody. And he's in the custody of Child, Youth and Family now. Custody to secure custody is a different thing. It's just that Child, Youth and Family have control over this person. And then they'll go to court. They'll have to, once again, depending on their means, to repay stuff. But certainly they can get anything from a warning right through to prison, depending on the nature and the magnitude of the offending. So, yeah.
Even if they're 16, they could end up in jail?
Oh, definitely, yes. Yes.
Right. And is there a special sort of youth jail, or they just end
up? Yes, there's youth residents throughout the country. I think there's... around about 110 to 120 beds from memory.
Mm.
I used to be the youth aid sergeant in Palmerston North, so I dealt with... there was a residence in Palmerston North, so we dealt with them quite often.
Mm.
But yeah, they have anything from your murderers to repetitive burglars.
Oh, really? Yeah.
and that in those residents.
Mm.
Then also in the prisons, there's also youth sections within the prisons as well.
Mm. So another consequence could be that you're sent somewhere that's quite far from your family? Is that also possible?
Yes, it could do. There's three residents, or four now, I believe. In South Auckland there's a residence, one in Rotorua, or just out of Rotorua, I understand, one in Palmerston North and one in Christchurch. So, yes, depending on the bed availability, if you are remanded in custody, that's where you could end up.
Oh, it's really sad, isn't it?
Mm. Mm.
And, okay, so what can people do to protect themselves against crime?
Well, it's like I say, 20 years ago you could sort of walk out your door, and the chances of you getting... having something happen to you is quite remote, but you can certainly do things by locking your door when you leave. If you're working around the back of your house, make sure your front door's locked. If you're going away, tell your neighbours. Perhaps have automatic lights or things that come on and off during the night. Put in security lights around your house, and just from that, I was working in a place called Dannyburg, and in the first 5 months I used to drive around at night shift, and security lights coming off on buildings, I could tell, oh, there's somebody in the area, and we caught 5 burglars on the job.
Oh, really?
Just from the security lights.
As opposed to cats.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So
5 burglars and 25 cats.
The cats and the dogs do set them off as well. But, perhaps cat burglars. But just secure your stuff. Make sure that you photograph it or film it, so when it does get stolen, because quite often we'll recover stuff from people's places where we are executing search warrants and stuff, and we can't identify it.
Mm.
So, of course, that person's got someone's property there, and we can't identify it, so they can't get charged and get caught with it. So, just make sure your valuables are identifiable. That you lock your cars, lock your doors. Don't leave anything in the view or tempting. Because I say most burglars or thieves are opportunists. So if they walk past a car at the beach with the window down and something sitting on the seat, it's easy for them to put their hand in and take it out.
And just grab it.
Where they've got to smash a window, it draws attention to themselves. So that they will take the least form of resistance.
Mm. Okay, great. Now, I noticed when I went into the police station to talk about my stolen iPhone, there were lots of posters there about domestic violence.
Yes.
And, either protecting yourself or reporting it or, things like that. And I know there's been a huge initiative and push on Waiheke to be sort of domestic violence free. Is that working? Are there any, you might not have those statistics, but I was just curious to know what your,
feelings
were.
Yes, the domestic violence on the island is over the last year or so, has been coming down. It's still far higher than what it should be. There's still a lot of victims out there through domestic violence, but there's a great network on the island, Living Without Violence, and all their support people and the community getting together.
Mm.
And once again, if those people want to get help, there's a lot of help out there on the island. And I do believe that we've got a lot of good people working together and supporting this area. And as I say, it's not just the police. It's a lot of groups. There's the Piritahi Marae. There's the Living Without Violence. And there's health trusts and social workers and all that working together.
And there seems to be good synergy between all the different groups working in this area.
There is. It's very good. And it's like, if you have an issue and you need some help, we've got the contacts built up so we can just pick up the phone and say, hey, can you come down and help us? We've got this person here with something or some issue, And domestic violence is, once again, there's a lot of causes there. There's the stresses through finance and alcohol and drugs and all those sorts of things, and people's behaviour that they might have witnessed it when they were young, and they think that's normal, and they grow up and they carry on that sort of stuff. So it's
huge cycles to break, eh?
Yeah, definitely. Breaking the cycle is what it's all about.
Oh, no, well done. That's fabulous. Yep. And then the last thing I just wanted to ask you is around the Esplanade, and there's been a decision to seal it and reopen it. What was the, the police at one point felt that maybe that wouldn't be such a great idea because there were quite a lot of people driving around there. I thought it was boy races, but maybe it wasn't. Do you have any opinion on that? I don't know.
I wasn't really here when it was open in full swing. But basically, from talking to the guys that have been around for a little while on the island, their biggest issue was that it was an escape route for drunk drivers.
Oh, right, okay.
Sure, the boy races, doesn't matter where they are, as long as you've got a road, we're going to be there. And I must say that the boy races that we have on the island was only probably amounts to one or two.
Okay, so they make an awful lot of noise, though, don't they? Well, I used to be just near the Donald Bruce roundabout, and there was a time when every weekend you could hear them hooning along.
Yeah.
That was about a year ago. Must have been a spate of it.
Yeah, there's only probably what I would call at the moment one or two cars on the island that we would regard as a boy racer, where they might have a noisy exhaust or whatever.
Yeah, but I think it was that. I don't know how fast they were going. It was just that, at 3 o'clock in the morning, it would be a really noisy exhaust.
Mm. But in the last few months, probably there's at least 6 cars that I can think of that we've taken off the road and impounded.
Oh, okay.
For various driving behaviour. So, reducing that. And once again, it's keeping everything in perspective. If it's in the still of night and you have a loud car coming past, it sounds a lot louder than what it may be.
Yeah.
It's like speed, people's perception of speed. We do have a major problem for the island in regards to speed. and trying to get people to slow down in areas, especially where there's pedestrian traffic heading down to the ferry, all that sort of stuff is quite difficult.
Mm.
And then people say, oh, we have people speeding past here. So we sit there and we look at it with our radars and that, and they're not actually speeding. It's sometimes the proximity to the road and people's perceptions of it. So
where are the hot spots in terms of people driving too fast?
Too fast is pretty much around the causeway through Surfdale and down to the ferry. Ferry, it's very easy for us to get people in excess of 70 k's an hour down there. And we say to people, the distance that you're going to go by doing an extra 10 to 15 kilometres an hour, over a kilometre, you're only going to gain 300 metres by going a little bit faster.
Yeah.
So you're not actually gaining anything, because once again, you've got to slow down a bit to go through any row. And all we say is just leave 1 or 2 minutes earlier from home. That's all it takes.
Well, I notice I've seen police cars on the just outside the high school and also going down towards the ferry.
Yes.
And I think that's quite good, because you see it once and then I think people are quite conscious of the fact, oh yes, maybe I should be sticking to the speed limit.
Yeah, for the next 4 or 5 months we've got a dedicated officer coming over, and he's using the tools like video filming and at intersections where people go through stop signs. He's got the handheld laser. He brings that over.
Oh, okay.
And it's quite easy for him in a day to issue anywhere between 20 to 25 infringement notices.
Mm. So is that through the winter or is that going to be in the summer? Because I noticed that seems to be worse
from
in
now,
the summer,
now through until
honest.
Christmas.
Okay.
That's happening, as well as our own staff that's doing stuff.
Yeah.
Speed is coming down on the island, but it's very hard to get that message.
Can I ask you about speed in the urban areas? Like I know I've gone for a big push to get traffic to slow down at Surfdale Shops, because I feel that traffic does go through there really fast, and it may be that it's okay to go through at 50, but 50 is actually really fast for kids trying to cross a road.
Yes, yeah, I agree with entirely, and that's where we have in the area like Surfdale or out at Ostend. Where the shops are out there, or coming through anywhere out, we won't have a tolerance. It's zero tolerance for speed. So if you're over the limit, you'll get pinged. Where that's a little bit more open. So we're sort of targeting to the risk. So if there's more people around, well, as I say, there'll be less tolerance. And as I say, down that ferry terminal, especially in the mornings, people racing down there.
That's right. It can be quite tricky crossing that road because people are hooning in and crashing to a halt to try and get to the ferry.
That's right.
You've got to be watchful, eh?
You get the odd person on the cell phone speeding down there, doing their hair and finishing off their toast and having a cup of coffee at the same time.
Yeah.
It's quite horrific at times.
Yeah.
The way that they do that. And then when we pull them up and they think, well, what's going on? Oh, I was only doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, I didn't notice the signs. Well, you know, to me, if they don't notice the signs, where's their concentration on the roads?
So do you think those things work? The signs that say sort of slow with the red on them around Surfdale Shops? I mean, I haven't had a sense of, I mean, is it working? Is it slowing people down?
I think anything that alerts people to their speed or to make them concentrate or think about what they're doing on the road is of benefit. But once again, it's getting those people to, once they've been through there 10 times, it's not new. And to reduce the road toll, is road design and enforcement are the two main things in regards to getting the road toll down or injuries on the roads.
So is it actually okay for people to go through an urban area at 50 k's an hour? I always thought maybe there should be a sign that says 30 k's or something, which tells you specifically in this village area you should be slowing down.
Oh, definitely. It's driving to the conditions. Just because it's a 50 k area doesn't mean to say you have to do 50 k's.
No.
If there's a lot of people around or children around, or especially around a school, that's when you drop your speed and drive to the conditions. If the road's wet or slippery, you slow down because,
I mean, I think for me at Surfdale Shops, it's also the fact that it's the main road, but it's also familiarity. So, I mean, I have children, so I do slow down, but I can see that if you wanted to and you knew the roads really well and you weren't really concentrating, that it would be really easy to drive faster than 50 and you wouldn't necessarily think twice about it. That's why I think there might need to be like some...
In that area, because of the nature of the road with the hills and the curves and things like that, you've really got to be trying to exceed 50. You know, you've got to be really not watching what you're doing.
Yeah, as you come down into Surfdale Shops, but as you go past the building that burnt down, there's an easy tendency to speed up because that curve isn't so...
That's right. So the natural hills and curves slow you down. The downhills obviously help you speed up on the island. But yeah, certainly, you know, I'd certainly support 30Ks through pedestrian areas on the island.
So that would be
as I
probably
say, it's not going to slow people down at all where they're going.
No.
And it's just going to make things safer or make people feel safer.
Mm. So that would be like urban areas like Oniroa, Surfdale, Ostend.
Yeah, anywhere there's pedestrian traffic, schools, foot traffic.
Is there a slowdown? Is that the Onitangi Strand? Is that an area that's got a speed limit on it? Or is that also a 50k zone?
No, I'm pretty sure that's 50 at the moment. Right. That's got some speed bumps on there to slow cars down as well. So, but yes, that's once again in the summer, that's a high foot traffic area.
Yeah, no, so, huge.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
bikes. And I remember we were practicing for the triathlon there. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
So it's changing people's attitude to thinking, hang on, there's people here. Mm. And it's not until you're affected personally by perhaps a crash or something like that, that once, you know, like us, that we've attended crashes with a bit of blood spilt on the road and things like that, and you think, that's
very
terrible.
Depressing.
Yeah, it is. And you see why, you know, when you've seen a child thrown through a windscreen, you see why you have seatbelts. And when I've seen a cyclist's head go through the window of a windscreen, and he had his helmet on, he was able to get up and shake
really?
His head. You see the benefit of those things. And people think, oh, we're just there to collect money. But it's not. It's there for safety of people and the others to encourage it. Because, as I say, enforcement is one of the keys to reducing injuries and the loss of life.
Mm-mm. Well, I'd certainly say on Waiheke there seems to be a good relationship between the public and the police.
I'd like to think so. We're getting quite positive feedback at the moment, and things are going well. We're fully staffed. We haven't been fully staffed since 2009. And we've got some very good officers at the moment, and they're doing a great job, I believe, and people are telling us that we're doing a great job. So there's the odd person that doesn't agree what we do, but...
That's with everything. And on an island, you'd hear about it as well.
And we hear about it, quite
anyway, locally. So thank you so much. You've been listening to Sergeant Peter Knight from Waiheke Police Station. Thank you so much.